Good evening. Please note that the order of worship today is found printed in your service bulletin. And also note that in addition to the hymns noted on the hymn board, there will be some hymns sung, the words of which are printed in your service bulletin. And the liturgy parts on the bottom of page one are spoken by pastor and congregation. We open with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we enter your presence on this Maundy Thursday evening, bless our meditation upon your Son's passion. May we be led to appreciate with even greater awe the sacrifices he made for us, to confess our sins against you and our fellow men, to rejoice in your forgiveness and your means of grace in the gospel and in the sacraments, and to dedicate our lives to honoring your name. In Jesus' name, amen. O Lord, open my lips, my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Great are the works of the Lord. Full of splendor and majesty is his work. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered.
The Lord is gracious and merciful.
He provides food for those who fear him.
He remembers his covenant forever.
He has shown his people the power of his works.
In giving them the inheritance of the nations.
The works of his hands are faithful and just.
All his precepts are trustworthy.
They are established forever and ever. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever.
Holy and awesome
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
All those who practice it have a good understanding. His grace endures forever.
We sing the hymn as printed, bottom of page 2. You may be seated. The scripture lesson for tonight we find recorded in Paul's epistle to the Corinthians. This is the fourth place in the scriptures where we read the account of the institution of the Lord's Supper. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then also here in Paul's first letter, where he encourages the Corinthians to be reminded of the importance of examining themselves spiritually before they partake of the Lord's Supper by recognizing our need for the Savior, that his true body are present with the bread and the wine, and that we are repentant for our sins and trust that the Lord will forgive us in a very personal and unique way in the Lord's Supper. We read from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 29, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." So far the reading from 1 Corinthians. We sing the next three stanzas of that same hymn as printed in your bulletin. You may remain seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for consideration on this Maundy Thursday night, a celebration, remembrance in a special way of the Lord's institution of the Lord's Supper. It's recorded in John 13, verse 5, where we read, "Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him." So far the text. In the name of Christ Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, dear friends, Jesus, Savior, wash away all that has been wrong today. Help me every day to be good, gentle, more like thee. You may recognize those words as a prayer that Christian parents often teach their children as they grow up. It's also a prayer that is eminently suitable for grown-up Christians. Maybe one that you still use as a grown-up that you learned when you were the child. We all desire, whether we're older or younger, that Jesus cleanse us, wash away all our sins. Washing is necessary for one's physical health and welfare. We're especially conscious of that, aren't we, since COVID days? Do a lot more washing of our hands and using of those sanitary wipes. In Old Testament times, God instructed his people to engage in a wide range of ritual washings of their bodies and clothes in connection with their religious lives. And the reason for this was to remind them of that special washing that he would provide for them in the future through the coming Messiah. And it is also what Jesus had in mind on the night of his betrayal, Maundy Thursday night, during the Passover celebration, when he got down on the floor, took a towel and then a basin of water and cleaned off his disciples' filthy feet. And then when he got done cleaning off those 24 dirty feet of his disciples, he asked, "Do you understand what I have done to you?" He was wanting to help them to comprehend that. In addition, as he went on to say, he was providing them an example that they should do for each other as he had done for them, namely serve each other in a loving, sacrificial way, to provide insight into the vastly important, more important cleaning that he would do for them and all people on the morrow, ridding their souls of sin filth by the forfeiture of his life. And it was after the foot washing episode and the conclusion of the Passover meal, when all this would have been fresh in their minds, that Jesus instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And tonight, we remember that in a special way, and especially the grand purpose for Jesus doing that for us. There are actually several purposes that the Lord had in mind when he instituted the sacrament, at least two secondary purposes, and then one chief purpose. The secondary purposes include, as Jesus would say in the words of institution, "Do this in remembrance of me." So it was to serve as a special memorial meal, to afford his believers a special opportunity to recall their Lord and all that he did for them in his love. Another purpose the Lord had in mind was so that, as we read in our Corinthians reading, so that as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup of his supper, we proclaim his death until he comes back again. So every time we take communion, we're making a joyful proclamation before one another that we know and believe and we have supreme confidence that the Lord who lived and died and rose again, he's coming back to take us to himself. As he also said that night in that familiar discourse we've heard so often, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself. So we take communion. We're remembering that Jesus is coming back again, proclaiming his death and his resurrection too for us. So those are what we might call the secondary purposes for which Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Important purposes, blessed purposes, very wonderful purposes indeed. But what was the primary purpose that he gave us the sacrament of Holy Communion? Well, getting back to the foot washing episode, Jesus understood that his disciples, while continuing their walk through a world filled with sin, living from day to day in an environment, in a culture that is anti-God and anti-Jesus, and where evil pervades every facet of society, and he knew that as they went along in their walk of faith, they also had their sinful flesh to contend with that would lead them to transgress God's commands. Think about the great commandment that Jesus gave, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second great commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then the new commandment, closely related to the previous one that Jesus shared that night in the upper room when he said, you shall love one another just as I have loved you. Jesus knew that his disciples, again, walking through this world, would accumulate, spiritually speaking, filth on their feet, more on their souls, sin germs, guilt stains, which the all-seeing eye of God would detect and be fully open to his view, resulting in his disciples feeling weary and heavy laden, spiritually burdened in their consciences with a sense of guilt and inner unrest. And so in love, he instituted the Lord's Supper as a special way to provide them in a very personal way with assurance of his washing them. Each time they would receive it with a heart of faith and godly sorrow, like the tax collector in Jesus' parable, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus would assure them, just as if he were still visibly present with them and looking them right in the eye with his face radiating compassion and saying, I have washed your soul from any vestige of uncleanness in God's sight. Be of good cheer. That's what the words mean that we hear in the Lord's Supper celebration every Communion Sunday when we hear those words, this is my body, this is my blood given and shed for you for the remission or the sending away of all your sins. Jesus also knew that it's possible that when Christian people would hear the sweet gospel promises contained in the Bible, like the one we know so well, the gospel in a sentence passage, God so loved the world, or God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, or we've seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, they would be prone, inclined, and tempted in spiritual weakness to still wonder, yes, that's true. I know Christ came to save the world, but did he come to save me? Am I included in the group of those whom he redeemed? Was the body he gave on the cross and the blood that he shed intended for my benefit. So this is the Lord's way in the Lord's Supper of individualizing the gospel comfort. So whenever you take communion, you can say, or when you return from the communion table, God so loved me that he gave me his son, so believing in him, I might not die, but live forever. Though my sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though my sins are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you, Lord, should mark my sins, I could not stand, but there's forgiveness with you that I might fear you. And you can insert actually your personal name into the blank. Remember what Jesus told the paralyzed man, let down through the roof in front of him at Capernaum? Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. You can insert your name, be of good cheer. Put your name in the blank. Your sins are forgiven you. And with the blessed byproduct that also flows, another secondary purpose, important purpose, that flows out of receiving communion with a heart of repentance and faith, that the Lord uses it to fortify our faith, energize us, and equip us for our walk through the sinful world, our walk of discipleship for God's praise, empowering us for a life of Christian sanctification and helping us to fulfill the Great Commission and the Second Great Commandment and the New Commandment we've referred to before, better and better. Yes, enabling us every day to be good and gentle, more like thee, O Lord. And so we say tonight, thank you, Savior, for instituting this sacrament for my soul's highest good. Thank you for cleaning off, not just with a towel and water, like you did the disciples' feet that night, but assuring me that you've washed away my sin stain using the only detergent powerful enough and pure enough to do it, your holy, precious blood. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God the Father, fountain, source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we also pray that you would not forsake your children, but always rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We also pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Continue with the confession of sins responsively on page 4. Do you believe that you are a sinner?
Yes,
I believe that I'm a sinner. How do you know this? From the Ten Commandments, which I have not kept. Are you sorry for your sins? Yes, I'm sorry that I have sinned against God. What have you deserved from God because of your sins? His wrath and displeasure, temporal death, and eternal damnation. Do you also believe that you will be saved?
Yes,
such is my confidence. In whom then do you trust for your salvation? In my dear Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Christ? The Son of God, true God and man. What has Christ done for you that you may expect to be saved? He lived a holy life for me. He died for me and shed his blood on the cross to atone for my sins. He arose triumphant from the grave to give me the victory over sin and death. Do you believe that the true body and blood of Christ given and shed for you are in the sacrament?
Yes,
I believe it. What induces you to believe this? The words of Christ, take and eat. This is my body. Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood. Why, therefore, should you receive the sacrament frequently? To receive the assurance through the sacrament of the body and blood of my Savior, that my sins are forgiven and that salvation is mine. As God has given to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and as you have called me to administer the same, even so, in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you. Amen. We sing the Lamb of God.
Does the Lamb of God have mercy on us? Jesus, who bore our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, have mercy. Grant us your peace, Lord.
Communicants may now come forward as the usher directs. Please stand as we offer a post-communion prayer followed by the Nunc Dimittis, Lord, let us depart, sung to, O God, our help in ages past. Savior Jesus Christ, God provided us with a Passover lamb to save us from eternal death when he sent you into our world and sacrificed you on the cross for our sins. O, work true repentance in our hearts, causing us to make sincere confession of our sins and to believe with joyful trust that he has forgiven us for your sake. May your body and blood given and shed for our sins and imparted to us here this evening in bread and wine in that supper which commemorates your death, ever nourish our faith, cheer our hearts, and strengthen our will to live godly and upright lives. Precious Redeemer, may your face that once reflected the burden of our sins and the anguish of hell be ever turned towards us in love and tenderness. Let no one in this Christian assembly who's known you as friend and Lord, as well as Savior, ever betray your love. And may the dear blood once shed for us be for our sins the perfect cleansing, peace, and power. Hear us to the glory of your name, Holy Redeemer. Amen. Lord,
my eyes have seen.
And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.